Hello and welcome to the award-winning Canine Hooper's World podcast. Everyone's invited. Hello everybody and welcome to season 3 episode 32 of Canine Hooper's World the podcast. This lady joined us back in the very like start of season 2, which seems like a million freaking episodes ago, but she's back again, and today we are going to be talking puppies and adolescents and surviving having big dogs that start off teeny and cute and then just keep freaking growing. Claire Staines, how are you?
I am fine, thank you. It's so good to be back because it's taken ages for our diaries to collide.
It has, but I feel that the universe always has a plan, and this is obviously when we're meant to talk and when we're meant to record, so
absolutely,
this is happening. So since we last spoke, you have gained a very beautiful Ridgeback.
I certainly have. I'm very blessed and very lucky. She was a long time in the planning,
Yes. So before we start talking puppies and all that good stuff, for the people that don't know who you are, like, where have you been? Go back to season 2 and listen. Come on, people. Who are you? What do you do?
If I need to tell them, they shouldn't be here. No, I remain humble. I am Claire Staines. I live up in the better part of the UK.
Careful, watch it.
I stay just.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying be careful.
I am just outside Edinburgh in Scotland. I am a professional dog trainer. Rhodesian Ridgeback, nut job, just general all-round dog person.
Yes, you are. So, well, we've been mates like forever. Forever, like, seems like decades. It's got to be a decade. It's got to be at least a decade.
That's 12 years, actually, I think.
My God, shh, stop, you make me feel old, mate.
We haven't changed.
No, I would say I've got quieter, but that never happens, so it's not a thing.
We've definitely got wiser.
Yes, and I ache more.
At snap, and I have hot flushes, and then I need to take medication for that. And yeah, you know, all of those things that people just don't need to know.
Yeah, and then we both went, yeah, do you know what would be a really good idea? Let's get puppies, let's get large breed puppies, and let's do shit with them, because that's exactly what you need to do. Yeah. So with Miss Venice, as you say, it was a long time coming. Before we get into her, we spoke briefly before we started recording, but one of the things I want to talk about is that I feel that as trainers, and to be honest, I feel it goes for all pet professionals, but there is a real pressure that we should rescue. And if we don't rescue, then we have to get a dog that is going to do something absolutely phenomenally well. Now, in terms of breeders, the regular listeners know that I am pro good breeder. And to the wankers that are just producing shit for the sake of producing shit, y'all need to feck off and stop doing it. But to the breeders that do things right and properly and health tests and temperament tests and do all the amazing stuff, thank you, amazing, we love you. Why do you think there is so much pressure on trainers that we have to have rescues all the time?
Is there pressure, or are we putting part of that pressure on ourselves also? I think is an interesting question, because I have never, ever justified getting a puppy. I've never ever felt like I need to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't feel that pressure, probably because that's where is where that opinion came to die.
Yeah.
And that's how I do it. As for the sort of broad spectrum, I think because there's so much, come away from being professional dog trainers, about, you know, helping dogs that have fallen on hard times, etc. And I think, mm-hmm, because there's so much of a drive for that, quite rightly so, that then they kind of go, well, there's these professionals who, like, they deal with this day in and day out, so surely they should be taking these dogs because they're these dogs' best. But I've got a few reasons. Selfishly, I like a puppy because I like to be part of that complete circle from,
yeah.
I mean, I even knew Venice's mum when Venice's mum was a puppy.
Yeah.
Right, so that's how long
mm-hmm.
I have been in this, on this journey.
Yes.
And I've also known the breeder for a long time. I know the lines and all of that. So selfishly, that's what I want.
I don't think that is selfish. I think that's consensible.
I'm just saying, because someone will say, and so I'm owning it. I'm saying selfishly, that's what I want.
Right? Yeah. So
that's it. That's what I want. Forget about the dog. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Now, also as well, I work with reactivity, you know, aggression issues, this sort of stuff, day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to have it at home.
Yeah.
Like, I have to have downtime in order to do my job very well. Now, does that mean I can't work with aggression and reactivity? No. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, I want to go home and be able to recharge and enjoy so that I'm at my best for my clients. I'm also preparing a dog, as I have with all my Ridgebacks, until they're older. I do retire them out when they're older, for like dog-on-dog reactivity. You know, this is the first dog that my clients are going to be able to test their training on.
Mm-hmm.
I need her to be solid as a rock.
Yes.
I need her to be. So yeah, she does help too. I don't pair very well, apparently. And you know, I don't think anyone should feel pressure. You know, if you want to go rescue a dog, well done. But it doesn't mean your mother tree's a Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just get real about it. You know,
yeah.
It's a good thing you're doing. But it's also a good thing that people are doing that are purchasing. I hate call it like buying a dog. Like, I adopted Venice. I'm not a real mum, so therefore, by its very definition, I have adopted her.
Yep.
We haven't told her yet. So, like, when's this going out? Later on in the year?
Yeah, October. So you've got a little while to break the news to her.
Before she tunes in, yeah. So, I mean, she is adopted by its very nature. And let's not talk about cash, because some rescues, it costs a fortune to buy the rescue. So you're buying the rescue dog. So it's like...
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it is a good thing that they've done. But as I say, it's also a good thing that someone, you know, sources the breeder and has a breeder. That, I mean, like, Venice's breeder's Fabby, 37 years in the breed. And as she said, every litter gets better because she strives to do better. She was like... Venice's litter are better than my previous litter, and the litter after Venice should be even better.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, that's me doing my job. That's me doing what I'm supposed to do.
But
always improve.
Just quickly, question, and I think I'm probably going to be able to guess the answer, but this is just to reiterate kind of my sort of feelings on good breeders. If, heaven forbid, Miss Venice could not live with your house anymore and needed to go to a different home, would the breeder go, come here, I will have her back? And I don't want to upset you with that thought, but if, you know,
the trouble I went to getting Venice, I had to practically prize her out of this woman's fingers. If I broke a fart the wrong way tomorrow, she would have Venice back in a heartbeat.
Yes.
So absolutely. We still see her regularly. She still refers to Venice as my beautiful girl. Venice still dives at her face, much to my horror. But no, absolutely, Sharon is still in regular contact. Sharon's also a show judge and a show steward. So we see her regularly when we're at the shows. No, she's very much involved and she's been very helpful at everything, because even although I'm a dog trainer, I'm not an expert. The dog is the expert. Sharon's not an expert either, but together we're a community that becomes an expert, that supports the dog to give them the best start, the best life, hopefully the best beginning, middle and end that any dog could possibly have. So to answer your question, yes, she would, and she just has that with all of her puppies anyway.
And that to me is one of the biggest kind of things. If people are thinking, right, I want to get a puppy. You never plan not to not have the puppy because you want the puppy, but it is so reassuring to know that if something wasn't right, there is a responsible person, and it's the person that is responsible for bringing this puppy into the world. Through good breeding, has gone, right, I'm responsible for this puppy, and if at any point she's coming back, done.
Absolutely. But you know, I had, because we were invited down to view the litter as many times as we could, and I know, like, Sharon's known me for years, but you know, she was still making sure that this puppy was for our home. No one can be as arrogant as that. I was not walking in there saying, by the way, do you know who I am? I mean, she would have told me to probably turn around and get out if I had used that. You know, she really would have. But, you know, when we were going down to visit, it was like, here's some macaroni cheese, here's some pizza, here's this, stay for ages. She really wanted you to get a feel for that litter. She really wanted to get a feel for you, to make sure she was matching the right dog up with the right home. And she did say this, she went, I shouldn't have to say this puppy can come back if it needs to. She was like, if I felt like I needed to say that to somebody, that means I've got a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and if I have a doubt, then it's not where the dog should be.
But
going.
We also know that sometimes
circumstances change.
It happens.
She took a dog back at 10 years old because the owners had to move to Dubai and they felt like he was too old for the journey. She had bred him a decade ago.
Like, that's amazing.
But she also has a network around her of, you know, because, like, she keeps, but she has got some of the dogs as well. But obviously with this kennel, she's got, like, stud males, and they live with somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like a, how could you put it? It's like a consortium of them.
They're, yeah.
So they would be pulled in if she didn't have room, or say it was a dog with an issue or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd be horrified if one of her dogs went back to her behaviour issue. Honestly, she would be absolutely horrified.
But again, this is where, you know, sound breeding comes into it, because if we've put good genetics into a dog, they shouldn't be getting half the behavioural issues they are. And this is, I think, why there are so many behavioural issues, because unfortunately people don't give a shit about temperament and they're just pumping out puppies.
Yeah, I think they give a shit, but I'm just not, I mean, I couldn't do what she does. I don't know how she does it. I think it's just absolutely, it must be years of studying genetics, years of looking at dogs, years of visiting different countries, looking at dogs, looking at how she can improve X, Y, and Z. I mean, this is my fourth Ridgeback, and you know, I've loved them all, and they've all been special and dear. Venice's nature leaves the other standing at the gate. And you know, I thought it was probably a few things, you know, it's probably like my experience with the breed now as well, you know, from day dot, but she's just amazing. And I don't know of any of the dogs that come from this kennel that I've ever seen that I would go, you're a bit sharp, or you're a bit this, or you, it's just not, you know. I like, obviously I know Venice's full brother, still know him.
Haystack.
Giant haystack, Tim Nice but Dim. I love him a bit, but yeah. And you know, I know, like, Tracy has Venice's auntie, and you know, I know so many of them that,
yeah. I'm not going to lie, I'm envious that you know that much about, I would love to know that much about Dodge. I genuinely wish I could have some more clues into what went into that dog, apart from the fact that he's 100% German Shepherd. Because that's all the information I have, is that he is genuinely a German Shepherd. No one slipped any Belgium in there anyway, you know. But I think that this is where, you know, and even with, you know, with Minx and Chica, like, I knew Chica's mum, and obviously I bred Minx, so I knew, like, obviously have Chica, then have Minx. But looking back, you know, I wish I'd done a bit more homework with who the dad was. And I've come out with a nice pup, and Minx's sister's amazing. But again, if ever, ever, ever Angel needed to come back, she'd come back. Like, they're 10 now.
You just, but you have to do that. You have to. And I mean, I think it's probably because, like, Venice's breeder's been breeding for so long, she could tell me everything back to the first bitch she imported from Australia.
Yeah.
To try and change her lines around. Because she felt like some of the British dogs that she said they just didn't, she said they were beautiful. She said, but it took me a visit to Australia to go, hold on a minute, these dogs over here's temperament are different than the ones we have back in the UK. So I'm going to take one back to the UK.
Yeah.
Grow from that. And that's where she's came from, you know. And now, well, Venice's dad's from Czechoslovakia. He's a Czech import. I've met him. Drum is lovely. But she went out there to see, you know, the entire kennel before deciding that
this
the male she was going to use. She had obviously seen him because she is an international show judge. So she does see dogs on the continent or dogs in the USA. So, you know, she kind of knew those lines. The woman does her homework.
Yes. But, you know, like, hats off to her. And if she does listen to this episode, like, thank you for being an awesome freaking breeder. And I wish that more breeders would do it, because I think we need to be looking at improving breeds and not just producing.
Yeah, but what we have to look at here as well, though, now we've opened Pandora's box. Right? People are going to choose breeds like, let's just use your working line German Shepherd for an example.
Yeah, because what sort of twat goes and gets one of them?
It's not that you're a twat, but it's like, well,
a little bit.
That's why I like you. No, but what were they bred for? And for how many generations has that been? You know, your boy's breeder four back. That's been their intention to have that.
Yeah. And you know, that's why I wish I knew more about him.
You can't then suddenly go, whoa, fuck me. Sorry.
Mate, it's my podcast. You can swear as much as fucking like, it's fine. But this is the thing, you know.
The border collie people. Like, you know, someone who lives in a semi-detached, very well-meaning, beautiful home for a dog, blah, 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 got all the time in the world, going to get a dog walker, going to get this, that. They bought one off a farm and wonder why it hires cars. You know, they're not behavioural problems.
Yeah.
They're not breeding problems. That dog has been bred for what is meant to be bred for. It's just now in the wrong place.
Well, in the wise words of Kim Brophy, it's a key and it's not in the right lock.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a semi-decent dog trainer. And, you know,
You're a bit more than semi-decent. Stop playing yourself down. Come on now.
If I was suddenly plopped at the controls of a plane, I'd be utterly crap at it. But it doesn't mean to say that I'm crap or I have issues or intelligence issues. Mm-hmm. It's not what I've been engineered for.
Yeah.
You know, so I think what people need to do is just be realistic about this. And that's why I was cautious about where I've always got my rage back from. But really with Venice, what really stuck out with me was where she said, I'm breeding for pet homes. She was like, I love the show world. I love showing my dogs. I love breeding my dogs. I love doing all of this. She was like, but that's second to the pet homes that these dogs are born into.
Yeah. So I think realistically, 90% of dogs produced are going to go to pet homes, regardless of if they're going to do a bit of sports stuff. You know, as much as Dodge is a sports dog and is very good at hoopers, he's still a pet dog. He's in a pet home. Yes, I'm a professional dog trainer, but it's still pet shit.
Absolutely. But then, you know, you can't be surprised. You know, someone gets a working line GSD, suddenly it's just a little bit, you know, it's a little bit Tourette's-y with people. You can't complain about it.
It's like Tourette's.
You know, and it's like, you know, it's like the total fascination for people having Belgian Malinois now. And it's like, it was good, don't get them, they're so hard. It's not that they're so hard. It's not. Well, I've never had one. And before anyone says anything, I have no inclination whatsoever. Herd and breeds just aren't my thing. I like my Ridgebacks. You're never going to change my mind. They're all beautiful. But, you know, it's not that they're so hard or anything. It's like they've been you're breeding them for this. You can't, you have to do, you know, whatever with them. Whatever. It's like, yeah, if that line's been bred for that, yes.
Yes.
And there's a guy local to me who got one off someone who lives in the next village who just bred his bitch. And this dog is like, you would look at it and go, it's just a normal dog.
Yeah.
because I don't know what's went on there. I don't know if it's just been a case
It's one of them rare Labrador Malleys.
And she's not, I mean, she's definitely on Mallee, but I don't think that maybe the person who bred them was just like, well, they're just a dog. You know, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, you can't change genetics, obviously.
Yes.
I just think sometimes, you know, well, actually, genetics is such a big thing. It's just a sliding door. And, you know, environment plays such a huge part of that as well.
Yes.
So, you know, he's obviously just got it right and has a Mallee that runs about the park, the local park, playing with every single dog it meets. Kind of, could you not? Like,
you know what, though? Most of the males I know are actually really, really dog social. They are actually quite little social butterflies. When it comes to dogs, it's just not necessarily with all the peoples. Dogs, they're wicked, but the peoples...
It's just funny, but when I mean the public park, I mean the public park.
You're giving me palpitations even thinking about going there. I don't even go to the public park for my chihuahuas.
I have turned into, because Venice loves like a good social and she really likes like people watching. It's a weirdo. So I have turned into one of them who frequents the parks with the ball launch crew and all of that. Because Venice likes it.
Am I allowed to talk about a little Facebook status I saw about her?
That was so
bad. Come on, do a dog training confession, because I'm not going to lie. I saw that status and I freaking snorted as I read it, because I was crying with laughter. That was hilarious. Would you like to tell the listeners what Pretty Paws Perfectness did the other day?
To be fair, she was perfect. I just didn't realise it at the time. So I was walking along and, I mean, I'm talking, I could only see the top of the person's head because they were over the other side of a hill and a substantial distance away. So I could only see, like, and when I mean the top of their head, it was almost like, you know, the eye of a needle of their head. That's how far away they were. And there was loads of other people. There was dogs running about. There was all this. She was just doing her thing. And then suddenly she just took off, like, and I mean rip-roaring took off. She did not ignore a whistle beagle up until that day, which was yesterday.
Right, just quickly, did you shit yourself a little bit?
Eh?
Did you shit yourself a little bit?
I did, and what made me shit myself even more was suddenly this human being was now on the floor underneath my dog, who was diving about all over them, and I'm running. I didn't use the words, it's okay, she's friendly though. I didn't, I owned it. So I had to start running, and I was like, I am going to put a foot up her fucking hole when I get to her, because I still didn't know. And then as I got closer, I realized it was one of our trainers and my friend Heather Dunn. So fair play to Venice, there was all these people. She managed to find that one.
She found her auntie.
The dog is the expert. I keep saying this.
So
I should have trusted her. I shouldn't have whistle recalled her. I should have trusted her that she doesn't normally run at people. So no, therefore she was running at that person.
You know what then, right? You say you should trust her, but the thing is, your instinct was, fuck, she's dead.
I hate you. Yeah, you're going back to that breeder who
come back. So, just to make you feel a little bit better, it wasn't quite as dramatic as that, because Dodge is not off-lead in public places ever, because that's just stupid. But we were at a show, new venue, car park, and I'd seen my friend's van pull in. I'd got Dodge, and he literally dragged me down the car park to get to Auntie Becky's van. I was like... And literally, she sat in her van, pissing herself laughing, as I have zero control over the large shepherd that's steaming towards the van.
But then is he wrong there? And this is why I always say, like, the dog is the expert. And yeah, I shit myself at the time, but she just proved my point. She absolutely proved it. She was like, go it, Mum, it's fine. It's just Auntie Heather. She loves me.
So how many dogs and people did she just completely run
by? Probably about seven dogs. One of them was actually chasing her and trying to play with her while she was on top of Heather, and she was still ignoring her. And I don't know how many people, kids playing football, she ran right past them and everything. So, I mean, she didn't stop.
Amazing.
Past goal.
Wow.
So
she went straight to go. She was collecting her 200 quid. And she
and then coming back to collect her cheese, which I was like, you ain't getting. There's no way.
So what did we learn?
That it's all okay so long as Heather's never over a road.
Yep.
Text Heather every morning to find out where she is before.
Need for a tracker on her. Just have your phone
on Heather. Heather.
Just track her. You're not your dog. It's just
probably sweet. The biggest takeaway is if Heather ever goes missing, we'll find her.
This is true. This is also good. So if anyone is thinking of doing anything ridiculous and making Heather go missing, don't, because Venice is on the case.
Venice has got it. All you have to do is show Venice kindness one time and give her cheese. That's it. She's got you covered.
Oh, mate. Cool. I'm excited to come meet her now. This is exciting. I just had to get that story in when it popped in my head.
I'm totally owning it. And that probably just nicely bridges in when you were talking about the feeling, the pressure to have the perfect dog. Like, please explain to me what the perfect dog is. Define that. I mean, for me, that wasn't a problem. It was for about, you know, the how many ever seconds it took me to realise it was a problem. Went a bit.
And then for you to get your breath back after you've just sprinted your ass off across the park.
Listen, my body's a temple. I could run that.
Yeah? Did you?
I was doing fine. I wasn't keeping up with her. Jesus Christ, no. But she, you know, define perfect, because like for me, Venice is still absolutely perfect. She didn't really do anything wrong. I mean,
yeah.
And what is it they're supposed to do? Like, are they supposed to be robots? Like, we can't, as a dog training community, absolutely hammer, you know, people who do expect higher levels of control, and I mean expect
the yes
their dog. We can't then say to them, well, your dogs are just robots, but then not expect our dogs to do the same.
Yeah.
Not expect our dogs to sometimes go, do you know what, up yours, I'm not doing that. It just kind of shows the dogs retaining the personality that I want her, you know, or keep going on, banging on about, you know, she has to have choices at that moment in time. Heather was a better choice than me, and that's fine. It wasn't like it was a kid, like, with an ice cream or anything.
She was yeah.
specific, you know, it was a known person. And you know, I must admit, with this puppy, I've put so much effort into her because I wanted to, not because I felt like I had to.
Mm-hmm.
Because my circumstances now, you know, my boys are older. This is the first puppy that I've had where, you know, I've been able to immerse myself in her.
Yes.
Quite unhealthy, I know.
No, not at all.
I have an attachment issue to my dog. It's unhealthy. I can't stop thinking about her. I love her. And kids, bye.
Okay, bye now. You did your thing. Okay, bye.
Good. I'm glad you've gone. I can spend more time with my dog.
Yeah.
You know, but I've taken the pressure off myself this time, if I'm honest. I was really like, let's see where we go.
Yeah.
Let's put our ruby slippers on the yellow brick road, Venice, and let's just see where we end off. And that is very much how I'm living each day with her.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think the other thing I really appreciated with you sharing the story, apart from the fact that it made me snort into my cup of tea when I read it, was I've always tried to be as honest as possible about, like, the roller coaster that I've been on with the creature. Because it pisses me off when all you ever see is trainers' dogs being perfect, because I think it puts unnecessary pressure on the person. Mm-hmm. I think it puts unnecessary pressure on other trainers, because you're looking at this person as your peer going, well, their fucking dog's not a dick, so why is mine? But also, I think clients have expectations, and when a client realizes that it's okay if their dog pisses off across the park to go and say hi to someone that they know really well, or drags you across the car park to go and see their favorite auntie, do you know what I mean? Like, I think it makes them go, oh, okay. And
yeah, I mean, I do, I totally 100% agree with you. I think as well, you know, I've been very honest about things with Venice, and I'll be honest again, like in her first 3 weeks, I was going to return her 4 times because I just found like it was just really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because I was finding it difficult, it's because I started thinking, putting pressure on myself that I'm going to fuck this up.
Yep.
You know, I actually took my dear husband to say, what would you be saying to a client right now? And I, you know, and then I had a bit of realization, like he won't listen to the podcast, so then I won't get him being all like pigeon chested because I've just said he was right. So I feel comfortable saying that this is a safe space.
Don't keep saying it. One time, that's all you need to say. It's fine.
Safe space. But you know, and there has been other things, like, you know, having the two puppies.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's hard.
I was like, why are there two puppies? What?
I found out a lot about myself on that journey. A lot about myself. And, you know, and there has been things, but, you know, I've kind of looked at them and went, these are challenges that we have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then every challenge that I overcome, and Venice overcomes as well, that makes me a better teacher for my clients after, because I've tried the things, you know, like we discovered after Flea died, it wouldn't have went noticed. Venice finds it really difficult being on her own. So I had to, you know, pull my socks up and stick my eggs in that basket. And I was always concerned about it, because that's one thing that I do know that her lines do have, is quite attachment issues, because with a few of the, you know, earlier litters with that kind of thing. And Sharon's honest about it, the breeder's honest about it. She does say you do need to get these lot used to being on their own, because I think it's part of it must be a genetic thing.
Yeah.
I think the other part is just testament to the breeder at how much handling and how much time and how much stuff that she has spent on them, that they're very human reliant.
Yes.
You know, so there's things that I haven't had to face before that I've had to do, you know, and just various other things. Like, she was shit with dogs when we first got her, which I hated, because I didn't, and my words were crying to my husband saying I didn't want a project.
Mm.
Like, if a dog came near her, she would just scream and piss herself. I was really worried about it.
Wow.
I was really worried about it. And I decided not to do anything dog trainery there.
But the thing is, though, that is hard, isn't it, though? Because I think one of the things, it's almost the downside of being a trainer, because we know what we know.
Yeah, we can.
An owner might go, oh, well, she was a bit shy, that dog, and had a little bit of an accident, but not overthink it. Whereas we catastrophize it and, hell, like.
You had to over dramatize this because she was very dramatic.
Okay.
Like, if there was, this is as young as carrying her about in her papoose. I mean, she was fine with Flea, she was fine with her brother. Anything beyond that was not.
So was it dogs that weren't ridgeback shaped?
No, because the first time she met her auntie, she was the same.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
So she would just wet herself, and I'm talking screaming, scrambling up you, scratching you.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, really bad, really bad.
Wow.
So that was the first hurdle we had to kind of overcome. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, we're going to go out. We're going to, every time you see a dog, I'm going to give you something high value. I'm going to do this. I decided I wasn't going to do that. There's probably dog trainers listening to this everywhere, curling their toes. I actually decided, you know what, stuff it, she'll find her own way.
Do you know what, though? I think sometimes you have to go with your gut.
I just thought, do you know what? I don't want to make more of this than she already is.
Yeah.
She is just drama enough for this situation. I don't need to get, you know what I mean? I really did not need to get my Oscars in on that as well. She was doing fine all by herself. So I honestly just decided if you need space, we'll give you space.
You say that, obviously, when I got Dodge, he'd started shepherding at people at 10 weeks old.
Threatening them, did he?
Yeah, Well, I mean, poor Dale, like literally, poor hubby spent a month getting bollocked by the puppy.
That's brilliant.
Like, puppy. You know, it was quite funny. But, and now they're like busy mates and stuff. But actually, you know, part of me was like, well, should I be going down the high street with loads of treats and every time there's a person giving him loads of treats? But do you know what? I didn't. I avoided people. And it was about giving him time to get used to me and him trusting each other.
Yeah.
Before worrying about that side of it. And actually now, you know, he's becoming neutral. And obviously I've got the genetics again for him being suspicious of people and blah, blah, blah. Because he's
a shepherd.
But I do think that if that had been, say, a client with a Labrador puppy showing sort of similar things, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have flooded them and gone, oh, yeah, go down the local high street. But would I have maybe have kind of been a bit more proactive in the desensitization stuff? Possibly, yes.
The thing is, though, I didn't. That's the point. I didn't actually avoid it. I was just like, we're just going to go where we go.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's there, we'll deal with it. And if it's not there, then we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
That was just that. I just kind of felt like, Venice, these are all the environments that you need to be functioning in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to avoid them.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll just get scratched. I should try to climb up.
Oh my God, I've now got an image of you like having to go out with like a scratch vest on just to like protect.
Yeah. I look like I've been clawed to death sometimes. So there was those things. So, you know, it's not all been plain, and it's definitely been a nice journey. It's not the end of our journey. Obviously, we've got an incredible journey to go on, I hope.
Yeah.
But, you know, those things were, they were tough. But, you know, again, it's not enough to just...
Because how old is she now?
She is 10 months now.
Okay, so you're just about to hit the teenage bullshit.
I don't know, though, because remember, she's had the first full season.
Is that normal for it? Or obviously, every dog is different and some come into season super fucking early, some come into season... I know dogs that didn't come into season until they're nearly three, and then I know other dogs that came in season at 6 months old.
Ridgebacks, as a rule of thumb, are generally very late.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a surprise. And then I was kind of thinking it's probably just going to be one of these little pretendy ones.
Yep.
Oh no, she'd feel on. She was saying, like, no. As I said, the girl could get an Oscar, a BAFTA, you know, everything in the same. So she doesn't do it by half. So she was like, oh, fuck it, I'm here anyway. I might as well just go full mama on it. But she just didn't. And she wasn't either up nor down with that. I would just say a little bit hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first thing that I noticed that was odd about her is suddenly it was like certain areas of the house looked like there was lava on the floor. It was very weird.
Oh,
she wouldn't go in certain rooms and things, and her behavior was just like, and I didn't know. I was looking at her going, what's wrong with you? Oh, this must be a fear period. What is it you're frightened of? And then bam, look at me, I'm in season.
But do you know, I do think, and from speaking to other like trainers and stuff, I do think the girls, when they come into that kind of hormonal stage, do almost have a bit of a fear period around the hormonal state. It's like their sensitivity.
It wasn't afraid of anything else, it was just the floor.
Well, you know, I mean, fet me the other week, I was watching something on telly that normally I'd sit there like, oh, okay, whatever, and I was fucking crying my eyes out being a tart about it. So, you know, we know hormones affect us weirdly.
Absolutely, but I mean, it just, you know, she's bomb-proof now. I mean, you could drop her out like a 12-storey window, this dog is absolutely bomb-proof.
She'd be like, yeah, cool, wicked. Obviously, you wouldn't.
Obviously, just before someone says anything.
You would have a full crash mat at the bottom and it would make the most amazing TikTok. I'm joking. Do not drop dogs out of windows.
Listen, Venice is so clever. She'd know to get herself a parachute. I've taught her well. No, so there was little quirky things and then bam, she came into season and she had a full season. So I'm not sure if that's changed our sliding door for adolescence slightly.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe. But then this is the thing though, isn't it? Because again, as training,
talking about the rebellion.
We have preconceptions. We do, and we try not to, and we tell our owners all the time not to have preconceptions. But we do because we know what we know.
Yeah.
you know, owners would be like, oh yeah, she didn't want to go in that room today, that's a bit odd, straight away we're like, oh, is it this, is it that, and like, because that's just what we do.
It is what we do, and we should stop doing it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I must admit, with Venice, I have very much just went by the seat of my pants. I've just decided I'm going to enjoy this without trying to decide what we're going to be doing tomorrow or what we're going to be training next week or what we're going to be doing. I've just decided, you know what? No. No, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to just see what it takes us. All I'm bothered about is her happiness and her well-being. That is it. Everything else, we'll trundle through and we'll find solutions for things. And it's working because she's great.
Exactly that, and it's brilliant. So let's touch on litter mates.
Jesus.
Right, mate. What? Right, because I'm not going to lie, I was really confused. I was like, there's two of them, there's one of them. What the fuck, has Claire got two puppies? Has she got one puppy? Is it just the brothers training with her? I don't understand what happened. Please explain.
Right, okay, so you know that I've got, like, one of my best friends, and she also trains with us, Tracy Graham. You should get her on, by the way. She is hilarious.
Tell her that she needs to come on the pod. We will sign her up. We'll get her on. We'll have a chat.
Get her on here and hear her perspective. Anyway, she has Venice's auntie, who is Venice's mum's full sister.
Okay.
And so, we've been down to see Venice a few times, and then there was one Sunday where we were going down, and she went, I'm going to come with you and see Sharon.
And no, we're good, it's all right. My dogs decided that they had to go out right now because there was a sky raising right by the door and everyone had to go out, so it wasn't a computer, it was dogs, me, don't panic.
Dog's expert. So she was coming down to see the puppies, like, she uses air quotes.
Yeah
That, and that was it. She was like, I'm gonna take the boy.
Oh.
But she did remember driving back in the car, and she was saying to me, I haven't got anything, I get them next week. And I was like, she was like, I haven't got anything, I haven't arranged my diary of work, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't done that, I don't even know what I'm going to call them, no, I'm not going to do it, our partner really wanted them. So then that went that way. And then the words came out my mouth before my brain engaged. I was like, I've taken a bit of time off. I don't mind having the two of them. Yep.
You dick.
Yep. Don't get me wrong. It's an experience that has given me experience. And I loved it. The two of them. Like.
Do you like my reaction though? I've just laughed.
That's exactly it though. It's insanity. But this... You know, it's given me a real insight into when our clients do get litter mates. And it just seems to be the only advice they seem to get is don't.
Well, if I actually, do you know what? This was asked in a Facebook group the other day that I'm part of, one of our local ones. And I actually answered it. And I went, look, first of all, litter mate syndrome is not a scientific thing. It's anecdotal. There is no science behind it. But if you have time to give your current dog the life they are used to and give two puppies separate time training, doing stuff apart from each other, and you can maintain that level of fuss and love for three dogs in your house while everyone's adjusting, perfect, fine, go for it. But if you think you're going to struggle with time with your current dog, and because let's face it, puppies are freaking energy vampires and they suck all the energy out of you. They freaking are, okay? I don't care.
Oxygen thieves.
They are sparkle vampires, and they just drain your soul on days. And it's not every day, but there are days where you just think, like you did the first 3 weeks, what the feck have I done? To have two of those in your house 24/7,
yeah, well, I did this
to deal with.
This is the thing, I didn't have Jasper 24/7, yes. So there was that part of it.
Yes, so you did have a little break.
No, I couldn't have done that 24/7, not at the way I was tackling it either. And I do remember about the fourth day I had them, I just couldn't, I couldn't get them to do the toilet where I needed them to do the toilet. So I just, you know, I sat down and I was almost crying. I looked like I had spent the night with the entire Scottish rugby team getting chucked about a hotel room somewhere. Like, I was bruised, I was battered, I was bitten, my hair was everywhere, mascara down my face, you know, I was walking funny.
I mean, it sounds like a fun Saturday night from a few years back, but you know.
And, you know, I felt battered, and I can remember just sitting down and I thought, see, for today, you just need to be fucking feral because I've lost it now anyway.
Yeah.
So just go piss where you're going to piss, you know, shut up the walls, do what you're going to do, bite one another until your heart's content. I've lost control now. And I remember going home and I was like, I need to go in with a different attitude tomorrow. I need to change something. But I think that's the important thing, was I had recognised right away, I need to change something now.
Mm-hmm.
Not wait.
That was 4 days in. Okay.
I need to just change how I do this. And I remember on one of our puppy community pages, one of the clients that we have was asking about how I got Venice to do that. And then I was explaining and he was like, do you know, people like me don't have that kind of time. And it was a real eye opener that some of the things that we as professionals are actually asking our clients to do, mm-hmm. we can put into our day because like that's our thing. You know, it's our drug.
Mm.
You know, we breathe it, or we should breathe it. And that was a real eye opener for me when the guy said that. And you know, I really, as I say, I don't know if I've suddenly matured.
Don't grow up, it's a trap.
I've had a complete attitude shift in, I would say, the last 12 months. Like, I'm still me, I'm still funny.
You're still freaking awesome, babe.
Still funny. But I don't know, I just feel like I've centered myself and I feel comfortable. I mean, I've had a lot of personal things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Best. But I just, you know, and it just rung out to me that I was like, right, okay, so we're asking them to do too much.
Yeah.
Right. So how can we change this? So I completely rewrote our puppy course. Shut up. Start again. And it's shameless plug, it's now for sale.
Mate, do it, plug away, that's why you're here, you're on the podcast, plug shit, plug the shit.
I wouldn't say, do you know what, I just, you know, that is, I'm never one to confess I invented this because I'm not, I've just never been of that ilk, but I just feel like, I've, you know, myself and Tracy, we worked a lot on it,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like we've kind of got it into a place where actually people with busy households could do this shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it, because a lot of the time people that are getting even just one puppy will
totally forget about two, just one, you know,
one puppy is honestly, they are hard work. Like me and Dale were talking about the other day, friend of mine who's got a dog that I absolutely adore is having a litter next year, and I'm not gonna lie, I've gone, oh really? And then my brain's going, oi, dickhead, like, come on, let's be sensible. Because, you know, I'm going to, confession, puppies are a pain in the ass. And as much as, you know, I totally get having the journey from the very start. And like, obviously I had that with Minx, you know, I bred Minx myself and I've had that journey with her and she's my baby girl and everything. Getting Dodge at 17 weeks, I kind of missed out on the bullshit of the sleepless nights and the house training because he came through that done and I was like,
I've never had a sleepless night though. Venice was during the night.
Okay, so the chihuahuas were quite demanding and were like, we can only sleep for 2 maybe 3 hours before we need to pee again, and I was like, oh awesome.
I just took her into bed and we suffocated her with a duvet and she slept for 2 hours.
Clearly the bladder size is bigger on a ridgeback puppy than a trout puppy.
Yeah, apparently if you really heat them up, their metabolism slows down. So let's just cuddle you and get the flannel jammies on and then you're going to sleep.
Oh, that's hilarious. But I I have kind of, we've had a bit of a chat and like my brain has gone, oh, could we do a puppy? Because I don't think there's ever a perfect time.
No, it's like having kids. You know, you can pretend to be as organized as you like. I mean, I had, you know, as I say to you, Venice was a long time in the planning. I mean, I had everything. I was like that, you know, like Mumzilla, you know, like the first time pregnant woman. And she's got everything, you know, she's got like this Alaskan baby spa bath, and she's got like a changing table that changes the baby by itself. She's done, or, you know, she's playing them classical music in the womb because she knows they're going to be mathematical geniuses. That was me with Venice. You know, I was that planned. I was that meticulous. And then the arse fell out my world.
And then 3 weeks in, you were questioning your life choices going.
Tracy decided to bring home a puppy as well. Plus side, though, there's a plus side.
Mm.
Both Venice and Jasper done hardly any inappropriate mouthing or biting on people because he took that shit out on one another.
But do you know what, though? This is one of the things that I think, especially with puppies going into an only puppy household with no other dogs. Not even another puppy, but no other dogs will kind of go, whoa, hang on a minute, young'un. Them teeth hurt. Yeah. I think that is why the puppy biting can get so bad. And obviously, again, genetics are going to come into it.
Back asleep, all of these things. Yeah, absolutely. But it was funny because I remember, like, Venice and Jasper, you know, having one of their, I'm going to rip your face off, no, I'm going to rip your face off set too, which... You know, they only ever happened for like 2 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved on as a, well, look, there's a cardboard box.
Look, so,
exactly. And I remember one time, I mean, Venice must have been about 9.5 weeks old. She decided she was going to get down with that shit with Flea. And I could see Flea looking at her. And I was like, right, what did I do here? Did I redirect her?
Mm-hmm.
Did I call her away? Or do I trust Flea enough that he's just about to give her probably the best lesson of her life?
Without going too far with it.
Yeah, I hastened to add, trusted Flea. And oh my God, he just came out of his corner like, that will not happen. I mean, she was screaming, but screaming because she had had a fright.
Yeah, she was scared. She shit herself.
Oh, she literally was like, fucking hell, my big brother. She didn't do it again.
Yep.
And she has never done it to another dog since. And what she was doing was she wanted his bone that he had, and they had plenty bones, and they were being supervised just before we get the, you know, the crazy extremists all coming on. It's about me managing my environment. It was very supervised. There was plenty bones, and she wanted his, and she was barking at him. And he was just quite happy to ignore that, like a good granddad would.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to ignore the little bratty kids. It'll go away. So then she decided she was just going to go over and just snap him in the side of the face.
Oh, no.
What she was doing to Jasper. Her and Jasper were doing this to one
another.
And she's never repeated that ever again.
But this is where, though, again, as you say, dogs are the expert, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, she would have learned that, you know, at litter level off an older dog.
Yes.
Anyway, like, she can't learn that off her mum. If her mum is being that angry with her mum shouldn't be a mum.
Yes, yes. And this is where, like, I was really mindful with Dodge as a puppy, because obviously the size difference with him compared to the rest of the dogs in the house was huge.
Yeah, you're like, chihuahuas, leather him quickly so that he absolutely knows.
Yeah. but the thing, and bless him, Mink still growls when he walks in the room. She still hates him.
It's, hate you.
She does. She just goes, fuck off. And he's like, oh. But you know, there are times where I move and she grumbles. That's just, just her communication, bless her.
That's a chihuahua thing, isn't it?
Not a little bit, but especially her. I mean, she was growling at me at 3 weeks old. So, you know. Yeah. But I remember there was one day he did say, and Munch told him off. And Munch was brilliant. And Chica, because Chica was a mama dog as well, he was very respectful of Chica. Minx, he kind of used to ignore a bit, but I think it was almost like she cried wolf so much with the growling. Everyone is desensitized to the growling. Like, everyone's just like, oh, fucking hell, she's doing it again, whatever.
It's like my dad moaning, and everyone just goes,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Shut up, it's cool. But actually, there's been a few times where, even now, like, if him and Munch are, like, playing or whatever, like, he's not unattended with the chihuahuas if I'm not around. Like, if I'm not in the house, he's not with the chihuahuas. That's just management in my world.
Oh, yeah, not totally.
Because, you know, size difference. But there's times where, like, he'll do a massive play bout and go, come on, Munch, play with me. And she goes, mate, fuck off. And he goes,
I hate you.
Oh, okay then. And I feel so bad for him because, like, all the ladies in the house are, like, elders. But actually, do you know what it means? When he meets the lady dogs outside,
very respectful.
He's like, you know, the lads that have had a really good matriarchal background to them and they're respectful of the ladies. He asks before, he doesn't just walk up and slap someone on the backside. He offers them a glass of vino first.
Oh, he's a good boy. He's a feminist.
He is. We've raised him good, bless him. But it is because the girls have helped.
But you do have to. I mean, as I said, and I did make that conscientious choice just sitting there. I can remember sitting watching the two of them and I thought, you know, did I redirect her and stuff? And I just thought, you know what? Sod it, Venice, because if I redirect you just now, then I have to keep redirecting you
from
that situation. And know you're, you know, you will eventually learn something from it. But it'll be really exhausting and tedious for me. And I can't be bothered doing that. I'd rather do something else. Right, so just, you know, if Lee's gonna, then he's gonna. If he's not, then he's just more or less accepted his role as an absolute effing pushover to you for the rest of his life. And you sort that out. And, you know, he didn't mind, like, there was things you could definitely see where he was like, yeah, the puppy doing that's all cool for me. I'm not really too bothered about that. And I'm not too bothered about but that you could see he was like, don't you dare come shouting and swearing in my face and then think you're going to muzzle punch me in the side of my big, huge head. And I'm not going to let that go. Like, I'm not going to make that unchecked.
Yeah.
And he was perfect. And he just, but then the thing is, he then left his phone after he did it.
Oh, he was like, didn't fucking want that bone that much.
I didn't want to be put in that position and I don't want that bone anymore.
Oh, were you like, mate, it's okay, you can have all the bones. She's
because do you know what? Like, as much as people go on about, oh, we're reading all this dog body language and we know what they're saying and blah, 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 blah. Actually, no, we're just making really good educated guesses based on things that we've seen before. But we totally know that from dog to dog, relationship to relationship, that is going to change. It's very fluid. How I speak to my mum is different to how I speak to my husband.
Yeah.
or my mum would beat me. you know, how I speak to you is different to how I speak to various other people.
Yeah.
And I just think that we get to this stage with dogs where we are actually really rigid, like, oh, that yawn means this and that means that. And it's like, it depends what is mirrored against as well.
Yeah.
I trust my dogs enough. I would never have bought a puppy into the house if I didn't trust the dog that I had. Insane. You know how you get those emails from someone, I've got a puppy, my older dog isn't getting on with them. How long's your older dog been, you know, does your older dog got dog friends? No, they've been reactive forever and actually they get in fights all the time. It's like, why are you bringing a puppy home?
But this is where, you know, going back to the conversation I've had with Dee of, you know, is there a puppy or not? A mother, if you're listening, there is nothing in solid stone. I'm not going out and getting a puppy next week, so don't fucking panic. Because I know my mum's going to be listening, going, you're not getting another dog. It's all right. Auntie Becky will look after it. It'll be fine. Becky, if you're listening, there might be a But one of the hugest considerations for me is that I know at the moment, Dodge with puppies that are under 6 months old, he's a twat.
Absolutely. So why would you do it? And should you, like, I totally get, right, management, can we just open Pandora's box here with this?
Let's do it.
We can, as dog trainers, be putting people in their homes on freaking such bad management, such rigorous management programs because it's going to fail and it's not a way to live. It's not a way to live. It's just no way to live.
Even, you know, like, I mean, I think
I'm not talking about you splitting your dogs up when you go out. That's that. I'm not even touching on that. I'm talking about, you know, you're going to, if someone brings a puppy in, for example, where, I mean, I did management, we had, you know, baby gates up, and we had puppy gates, and we had crates, and we had But the majority of the time when there was an adult, which is, I'm the only adult in the house, because obviously I'm in a house full of men, so I am.
No, you are the responsible adult by default.
Just totally by the gender I was born into makes me.
I'm just going to say my husband is going to disagree with that theory completely, and I concur with him. Listen, in this situation,
my husband can disagree with it as well, but I'm not listening because I just know that we are the superior. And I'm owning it. So I'm not talking about that kind of management, but if you're bringing a puppy in into a situation where actually you're like, I need a higher level of management because there may be acts of aggression from my established older dog, then you have to really ask yourself the question, how would you feel if social services placed an infant in a home where there was a teenager capable of domestic abuse?
Yes, that is a very valid question.
Well, I dropped my mic.
No, mate, giving you all the clicks for that. I'm loving that because it's true. And when you put it in those words, you suddenly go, ah, shit, yeah. That's not. And you know, it may be that in a year, 2 years time, Dodge has sorted his life out and he goes, oh, actually, puppies are all right. I can be neutral on a puppy. But at the moment, he's not neutral.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it actually just goes much, much deeper than that, because if we are looking to change things the way they are just now, take a shift away from, you know, your dog shouldn't be interacting with such and such dog, you need to call your dog away from my dog doesn't like blah, 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 blah. Right, I know this isn't what this is about, but I'm just going to briefly just spew it out, and I'll take the flak for this. We are taking a social species and we are making them antisocial.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. With our stupid laws and our stupid management and our selfish attitude of, but my dog wants to do for fucking millennia, dogs have sorted themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Being a successful species, you know, can we just take a little step back?
When you compare all of the, whether they're pedigrees or crossbreeds or whatever, to the village dogs, the street dogs, the dogs that basically fucking sort their own shit out themselves.
Yeah, but they come with their own set of problems as well.
But when we're talking about sociability with other dogs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And do you know, I know that we need to put leads on them, and I know that we need them to be safe, and I'm totally get all of that. But do you know, like, and no, they shouldn't be bombing about, just running into one another, and you know, just. And
but that's the thing, though.
That's not being social. That's not right. You know,
yes.
Going to doggy daycare and charging about with 17 other dogs. That is not being social.
No.
I just think we could end off being the ruin and damnation of this species.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't surprise me because we've basically been the ruin and damnation of practically everything.
Yep.
We need to get this back on kilter. And when I'm talking about social skills, I'm talking about really natural, you know, the dog gets the choice.
But the thing is, though, when you look at kind of, I'm gonna keep using the term village dog or street, because street dog makes me sad. Like, it has negative connotations for me. So that village dog, that wild dog that is just kind of out doing the thing.
Your semi-feral dog.
They are basically semi-feral. But they're not all running around being knobs with each other.
No,
because.
And they're not fighting because it's not successful.
No, and that's dangerous. And
they're not resource guarding from one another because that would involve fighting. They have to make a conscious decision as to whether that scrap of food is actually worth getting injured over. Most of them will actually, it's not, I'll just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like all posturing at one another, because actually they're very fibrous to avoid conflict, because getting in conflict is really dangerous. And you
And they have their little areas that they hang out in.
They hang out.
And they have their mates they hang with.
Honestly, it's just such...
And this whole, like, that your dog has to be fucking social with every single dog, you know.
It's in the hard drive, but define social. Actually, Venice is very social with the majority of dogs she meets. Mm-hmm. But then for me, that means her social is, that dog's not interested in me, therefore I'll leave it.
Mm-hmm.
That dog is maybe just a little bit too overexcitable, so therefore I'm going to leave it.
Yes.
That dog is meeting and greeting me nicely, smelly face first, you know.
Like, yeah.
I trust you enough to give you my bitey end. And now I'll go round and sniff your bum. You know, straight for your bum and then, like, you know, like Hugh Hefner.
Basically, slap him on the arse and say hello.
Exactly. I mean, smelling genitals is really important, but they do tend to start at the face.
Yes.
Like, do I trust you enough for this?
Yep.
Because, like, I would trust someone kissing me before I trust them with my tush.
Facts. Fact. It's not a joke, just a fact.
Because my cheek doesn't mean to stay again in my pants. Right, anyway, so, yeah.
But it's true, and I think that society has changed the dog's environment so, so dramatically, but also the expectations of what dogs are supposed to do now is, like, majority of dogs, like, I'll be honest with you, my dogs, unless we're, like, at a competition, they have that pretty standard kind of, you know, they go for a walk a day, they hang out, they sniff around the garden a bit. If it's raining, the girls don't go outside because, you know, sugar lumps.
A ridgeback. And
basically, we've had the conversation that ridgeback and chihuahuas have that same genetic coding, and it's a thing. And Staffords, too. I feel they all intertwine with each other.
They hounds.
But it's... For me, it's the fact that, you know, and this is where we're going back to that breeding for pet homes, because the majority of dogs are going to be having that kind of routine, because guess what? The people in the household live. When we look at dogs from even our childhood, you know, quite often, yes, both parents might be working, but it might be mum was home a bit more, or there would be another elder at home.
Exactly.
Dogs don't have that now, but we still expect them to act like fucking Disney characters.
You know what's really sad? What's really, really sad, if you actually look at it, we're also doing the same things to our children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, not me personally, because I made those life choices of nope, but, you know.
No, actually, I haven't done it with my children, because I've been, like, a really perfect parent. I've never done anything wrong as a parent. My children are perfect.
I wish people could see the video feed. You actually managed that whole sentence with a straight face, and I'm really impressed. There was a split second there. I was like, are you fucking
you for what? Real, Steve? No, but my point is it takes a village. I've said it earlier on in the podcast.
Yes, it does.
What I'm doing with my kids, or this, that, or the next thing, is actually our whole society has just become false and fake, where success is measured on wealth, beauty is measured on the Kardashians, and we're doing the same things to our dogs. It's like the dog that's running around the park playing with everyone, that's the module that we should be aiming for, because that's sociable. And this is what I mean, we're just
in
a world with just fake.
Yes. Yeah, no, massively. I'm just going to pick up a little point with you saying on the beauty thing. This is not dog related, but I'm going to give her a massive shout out. There is a most fantastic artist called Kat Shaw. If you're not familiar, ladies, gents, everyone, go and check out Kat Shaw. She's on Facebook, she's on Instagram. She gets censored all the time because, heaven forbid, she has actual nipples and pubic hair in her artwork. Ridiculous. I mean, she has girls' nipples and pubic hair. How fucking dare she? Kat is the most amazing artist.
But what you now need to blame is you need to blame the censorship society that we live in, where people actually go through social media to look at something to be offended by.
Yes.
Rather than going, I don't want to look at that, I'll just not look at it.
Yes.
You know, it just...
Instead, they want to fucking report it because the woman's a size whatever it is and has got a few rolls and her waps out and because she doesn't look like a Kardashian.
Then likewise as well, though, then they get down on someone. I remember seeing somebody doing writing something about Cheryl Cole when she was at her worst. And, you know, this isn't a good module for children, my young teenager, to be looking at because she's going to think she has to be as thin as that. I was like, the woman's going through a fucking divorce. What do you expect her to do? Like, okay, she's putting on a happy face because she's supposed to, because that's what society expects her to do.
Yes.
But she's thin and she's always been thin.
Yes.
Cheryl Cole has historically always been very slim.
Yes.
I don't think she's promoting, like, eating disorders. And if she is struggling in her life, be bloody kind.
Yes. Exactly that.
Just because... Oh, damn. Right. Anyway.
No, mate, but...
We've, like, turned this into, like, almost like something Chris Evans will be talking about tomorrow morning.
No, but it's good. And we started off talking about puppies and how like,
do we not always do this? But I think the getaway is, like, when it comes to puppies, my realization has been this time around and before, but it's really sat with me and I felt comfortable about it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's not about training the puppy. It's not about sits. It's not about drop hits. It's not about loose lead. It's not about anything. It's just about building that nice relationship with that dog. If they want to spend time with you, if you've made the effort,
yeah,
not just went, well, I bought you, so therefore I am.
Yep.
Like some sort of blinking monarchy that you, mm-hmm, you just have to be because I say.
Yep.
That I put all my investment in there. I've not had to work on loose leash because I did so much focus and engagement with Venice. Mm-hmm. Why was I doing focus and engagement? Because I was just like, oh, look, there's that, you know, let's hang out together. Good things happen when this appears in the environment and it comes from me. Because, yes, I am that egotistical dog owner that wants to be the most important thing in your world.
Yes, yes. Because at the end of the day, though, you are, because you make all the decisions. You do the feeding and the watering and the walking and the exercise and what bed they freaking sleep in.
Holly, I mean, I was a mummy to two beautiful little boys. I wanted to be the most important thing in their world, and I am, and very maternal. But when it came to my own boys, I wanted them to trust me. I wanted them to become teenagers and feel like they could tell me about, you know, come to me about sexual issues or narcotic, mm-hmm, issues or, you know, yeah, alcohol. So, yeah, I am that person who wants my family to think that I am brilliant. So I just didn't do anything with Venus.
You know what, though? Brilliant's not the word. Do you know what the word is? What that whole thing of what you want, how you wanted your puppy to feel about you, how you wanted your boys to feel about you. The word is safe.
Safe. And so I did loads of that. I don't have to work on drop it. Why was I working on drop it? If you're not meant to have it, I'll make sure it's not lying out because I'm not going to set you up for that. And do you know what? See, if you do get it and you're not meant to have it, let's not make a big issue of it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking shoot.
Yeah. Right.
Like, my kids were drawn on walls with crayons. They're not doing it anymore. I didn't have to come down on them for that.
Yeah. Because, no, you know, are they just being, well, the classic is, are they just being boys? But...
Totally, they shouldn't do it. They need to learn from it. But, you know, let's just not draw attention.
Yeah, but then you supply them with paper for them to scribble on instead and explain.
Honestly, that thing, they still draw on the wall. You know, I just feel like, that's what I'm saying. I just feel like I've centered myself recently.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, mañana, that's what it is. And hopefully when people are listening to this, they're just going to look at their puppy and they're going to, I'm not saying don't do things, but stop bloody micromanaging. Stop it. It's not healthy.
Yep. Yep.
It's really not, yep, healthy.
And that is coming from two crazy dog ladies.
Yeah, but you know, it's like you end up like Monica on Friends. Do you know, and you just stop micromanaging everything. As soon as you micromanage, you set yourself up for disappointment.
No, and it's true. And I'm the worst when it comes to trying to micromanage the world with Dodge. And Dale's like, for fuck's sake, can we just walk the dog like a normal person? I'm like, no, because the thing might happen a fucking hour. And he's like, let me just walk the dog, man. It's easier.
Oh, I'm gonna get a t-shirt. Team Dale. I do think that we
careful.
We just have to. I ain't after your man, girl.
No, I didn't mean like that. I mean, don't freaking take his side, because he'll go see the coach. I'm right.
We should, because then I think this is in the broader spectrum. What is starting to go wrong in society is everybody is trying to micromanage how they look, how they
are
in front of people, their finances, It's like, Jesus Christ, you're forgetting to actually just live.
Yes. Yeah, 1,000%. Right, so Miss Staines, come on, tell me, what are you plugging on this episode? Come on, what have we got to sell the people? What are you doing?
Right, okay, so I think the first thing that we should do is, I've got a puppy course, and I'm also putting my Focus for Fido online shortly.
Cool. So that means that us mere English folk can still train with you.
Yep, use people who live in funny foreign lands and speak funny languages and hail to the most strange king.
You do realise that you're technically a wildling, right?
And I am proud to be a wildling. To be fair, I'm not really. I'm Central Scotland. I consider wildlings to be those ones further.
Mate, as far as I'm concerned, past Milton Keynes is north, so you're like to the second.
Okay, I forgot about that. Geography, not the strong point. So yeah, you can go and do that. And I think the other thing that we should plug is rosy wine, definitely in the summer.
What about, well, this is October, so when people are listening. So
October.
Spice lattes.
October. Now you probably De Serrano Velvet and
okay, cool.
And gin with cinnamon in it.
Oh, fancy. Okay, there's me on like having my little PSL here, because oh my god, it's like happens for a month and you're like telling me about gin and cinnamon. I might need to try that, actually. That's the plan. Right, my darling, if people do want to train with a rather lovely Scottish trainer, I'm talking about, I'm just going to clarify that very quickly. Where do they find you? I'll obviously put it in the show notes, but just tell people because they're listening.
Well, you can find me on my website, Lothlorien Dog Services, or they could be really inappropriate and just stalk me. That's fine. I'm comfortable either way.
You've changed, Staines. You've changed.
Just doesn't bother me. Like, stalk away. It's fine. I'll either ignore you or I will accept your stalkerness.
Amazing.
That'll be based on the fact that you're not a veteran in the US Army or a plastic surgeon. If you stalk me on Facebook, if you're either of those professions, then I know you're fishing.
Yeah, seriously, what is with all the freaking weird veterans that are trying to friend with
you? You're just like that. Wait, I had one from Massachusetts. Like, and I just decided I am going to chuck my rod out and catch you biting. And I was like, it would be really nice to have a relationship, but you not feel like sex would be difficult.
I love it. Amazing.
You're hung. Yeah, I know. You know, it's, yeah. But you know, it's not a real person. So,
no,
you know,
of course it's not.
Just encourage them. And I'm like, they're not real people, Mum. They're not real people.
I love a bit of catfishing every now and again.
So they can find me on my website.
Cool.
Actually, I'm not on the website, but they can
get me back on the website. Right. Don't take it to that place. Right. Guys, I'm stopping this now. Remember, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Hoopers. Follow us on the Instagram, the Facebook, Canine Hoopers World, at Dodge Shepherd, at Meets Chihuahua on the Insta. Remember, we have our progress awards if you want to do some Hooper stuff and get involved online. Everything else is online. And until next time, stay safe, be kind, wash your hands thoroughly, keep your dogs on lead around livestock, and don't let them lick toads. Take care, guys. Bye. www.caninehoopersworld.com. Canine Hoopers World now has achievement awards online, so anyone, anywhere can test their teamwork and get one of our beautiful rosettes. There's even one for puppies. The website will tell you more about that and Hoopers, how to find an instructor. We also offer online training. There are beginners courses, we offer online training in distance handling, and there are instructor courses for dog trainers. Join us on Facebook. We have a friendly international group, and follow us on Instagram at Canine Hoopers World. Canine Hoopers World, everyone's invited.